and other drugs abounded, and I helped myself to them. The word alcoholic was never mentioned. I do not believe the doctors knew much more about alcoholism than I did. When I was released from the asylum, I moved to a large city to make a new beginning. My life had become a series of new beginnings. In time, I picked up the drink, got good jobs, and lost them as I had in the past. All the fear and remorse and terrible depression returned tenfold. It still did not register that the drinking might be the cause of all this misery. I sold my blood. I prostituted myself. I drank more. I became homeless and slept in the bus and train terminals. I scrounged cigarette butts off the sidewalks and drank from a common wine bottle with other drunks. I drank my way to the men's municipal shelter and made it my home. I panhandled. By this time, I lived only to drink. I did not bathe or change clothes. I stank. I became thin and ill. I had begun to hear voices and accepted them as death omens. I was frightened, arrogant, enraged, and resentful of man, God, and the universe. There was nothing else to live for, but I was too frightened to die. It was at this point that a woman who was a social worker on Skid Row and a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous sat me down in her office and told me her story, how she drank, what happened, and how she got sober. No one had ever done this before. I had been preached to, analyzed, cursed, and counseled, but no one had ever said, "I identify with what's going on with you. It happened to me, and this is what I did about it." She got me to my first AA meeting that same evening.